Good morning. I said the sun must have ducked under. It was out for a little while. All right. Well, good to have you here. Got a note here this week from the Galbraiths and the ones headed for United Kingdom. Looks like zeroing in on Edinburgh area. But it says, dear pastor and church family, thank you so much for allowing us to present our burden for United Kingdom. It was a joy to get to know you all. Thank you for your generosity in supplying for our van's transmission. Our van is now fixed and running well. We're excited to have you as a ministry partners. Thank you for your commitment and support. So they're on the road again. So they're back to traveling, and Lindsay's mom and dad made it safely back to Wyoming, so they probably are not ready to go anywhere for a while. But just a couple of prayer requests that weren't in your sheet. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the texts and emails and stuff. A lot of people have issues this last week, I guess. But we got two Dennises. Dennis Beard's having oral surgery tomorrow. Looks like a long one, so you might be praying for him. Dennis Hunter, Gail's husband, fell at work and did a kind of a face plant and banged up his chest and stuff, so you might be praying for him. Karen was, they thought she was going to have her gallbladder removed at 9 o'clock this morning. So we'd be praying for her recovery. Mike Soto's mother-in-law, 93 years old, passed away this within the last couple days here, and you might be praying for unsaved family that they might be thinking about eternity and trust Christ for salvation. So Allie's on the road today. Might pray for her safe trip too. All right. Just on your bulletin, there is a little insert here for the outline. Sorry we didn't get the Mother's Day thing in last week, but you can read it this week and it'll still apply. There's also a reminder for this next Saturday is our spring cleanup, our work day here at church. Actually, it's work half day. We work twice as hard in the morning so we can take the afternoon off. But it's kind of 8 till noon. Come and help us out. This is just kind of a list of some of the different projects that we hope to be able to accomplish. We find we get, if we don't get them done on work day, lots of times they don't get done. So if we can have a good group come out and we'll have a work hard at it and get a lot of these things checked off. And we appreciate all your help, okay? All right. Let's see here. This next week is also the family camp getaway. It's something new they're starting up at Camp Fairwood this year. Kind of a long weekend for people. And hopefully they have good weather up there for that Friday through Sunday. Okay. All right. Yeah, there is a sign up back there for lawn mowing and other fun things to do. Appreciate your help out with that. Okay, I think we're ready to sing. Bob's ready to lead us here. 406, 406, My Hope is in the Lord, 406.
All right, good morning. We'll stand and sing 406, My Hope is in the Lord. We'll sing 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
couple pages of 404, the solid rock. We'll sing 1, 3, and 4 on that as well. 404, the solid rock.
Sing a couple of choruses here in a minute. Let's just give you an opportunity. Anybody have something they'd like to praise the Lord for? I know that's no notice, but yes, Mark.
We had our granddaughter up here for the weekend, so it was a great blessing to spend time with her and have chances to witness to her and prayers and so on. So she was quite receptive.
Okay. That's June, right? She's probably got to the point now where June bug is not as funny as it used to be, right?
It's still June
bug. Oh, is it? Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Well, let's pray for some of these folks and not able to be with us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Watch care over us. Thank you, Lord, for your ability to meet the needs of people that are in need of physical strength and healing. Some as a face surgery. Think of Dennis as he goes in for this oral surgery tomorrow. You give the doctors a skill they need to perform that surgery. Pray you continue to strengthen Dennis Hunter, too, from this fall, and that he'd have a good recovery from that. Lord, we do pray. We don't know the exact timing of the surgery, but Karen was supposed to have had her gallbladder removed at 9 this morning or thereabouts. We pray that you'd help that surgery to have gone well and that she'd have a good recovery. Pray you continue to strengthen and encourage her. For Mike Soto's extended family, we pray for those who don't know Christ as they're think about the death of the mother-in-law and funeral and all, that they'd be prompted to think about their own spiritual life and need of a Savior. They might trust Christ for salvation. For Allie traveling, we pray you give her safety back home today as well. Lord, we thank you for the provisions that you make for us as individuals, as family, as a church. We thank you for good jobs and being able to be faithful in our giving and being able to take on these two new missionaries. We thank you for Galbraith's getting their car fixed and back on the road again. I pray that you'll continue to help them and the McCrocklins have safety as they're traveling to various churches, seeking to gain the necessary prayer and financial support that they might soon be able to be on the field. We ask your blessing on our time here together today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Ta-da. He is exalted. You can't sing "He's Exalted" sitting down, can you? So we better stand. To greet those around you. Okay, today we're looking at the last of our, wouldn't it be nice if we could say it was the last of our adversity? No more adversity. No, that's not reality, but the last of the messages that we've been focusing in on here today, and trust that this will be one to challenge your hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word and its truth. We pray that as we look at it here today, that we might have the desire, even as Paul did, to know you and to know the power of your resurrection. Lord, we pray that you continue to challenge our hearts through your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So today we're looking at one more possible purpose for adversity. We're not rating these from 1 to 14, but this is one of those towards the top. And as we think about the adversity coming into our lives that might motivate us to desire more of Christ's power in our lives. And I think a number of these verses are in your bulletin or in your outline there. It's not that we don't want you to use the scripture, but we're kind of bouncing around, and this way you'll have it. And also for those that are not able to be with us, we're able to send it along, and they kind of get the complete thought there. But Paul tells us there in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung that I might win Christ." So here Paul willingly gave up a lot of what he had worked for most of his life to become a Pharisee, and he was a religious leader of his day, and yet he was willing to give that up, to give up that goal and to his own goals, that he might follow Christ and that he might be able to be used of the Lord Jesus Christ. He realized, as we need to, there are times when we need to give up things. Our life is kind of full. And maybe we've said yes to too many things or something of that sort. But to give up a few things for self, to give more room in our hearts and lives for the Lord to work, and to enable us to get to know him better. It's a lifetime growth. We never really arrive spiritually. We're continuing to grow and mature in our Christian life. One of these days we'll be able to see the Lord face to face. But until that time, we continue to look to the Word of God and allow it to challenge us. And as we think about the power of Christ, of his resurrection, and to allow him to have control of our hearts and lives, that was something that, again, that was foremost in Paul's mind. He says in Philippians 3:10, "that I might know him." You know, it's kind of like the song that we sang here this morning, "Seekers of your heart." We want to know him, not just know about Jesus, but to get to know him, and that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. This is the kind of the meat of the message here today, is surrounded in this particular verse. He wants to know Christ better. He's not just satisfied with kind of a ho-hum relationship. And to know the power that was there to raise up Jesus Christ. And I don't remember all the different voltages. Chris could tell us more about this, but I know he's talked about standing in front of this unit and had to have a certain outfit on, and you know, if you kind of cross the wrong wires or something, it could just about vaporize you. There's a lot of power there. And yet you stop to think about how much power is needed to raise up somebody from the dead. And not just physical power, but also power with the Lord and wisdom, giving us the wisdom and understanding that we have need of to be able to effectively serve him. He says there in Ephesians 1:17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom." Can imagine, not just wisdom of worldly things, you know, to operate a computer. You know, last week, you may remember, I'm up here punching the buttons because it wouldn't advance like it was supposed to. Well, I finally figured out what it was. There was a loose wire. It wasn't completely plugged in. Makes a difference, you know, and we need to be plugged in to the power and the wisdom that the Lord wants to make available to us, to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. You know, God doesn't want a relationship with him to be kind of like a needle in a haystack, something that you spend your whole life chasing after, you know, but and maybe can't even find. But no, it's there. It's there for us to learn and to grow and to gain wisdom. What do we need wisdom for? Well, we need wisdom to be able to understand God's will for our life, to know what God wants us to do. As we talked a little bit about that in Sunday School Hour with Joshua, God was giving him wisdom and insight. He needed strength. He needed courage to be able to do God's will for his life and for the life of the people of Israel, to be bring them into that land, to possess that promised land. And so to have that desire for a closer relationship with the Lord, he's looking for real commitment on our part. Again, not just kind of a oh-hum kind of relationship, well, that's good enough for me. No, that we really want to get to know them better. Maybe what you could identify with would be like when you started to date your husband or your wife, and you're trying to learn as much as you can about them. You want to get to know them better. Well, that's the Lord wants us to seek to get to know him better and better. And as we get to know the Lord better, as we've studied in our times together, oftentimes the trials and tests come along with that. Even suffering. We're told there in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly, and I trust that's your desire here today, is to live godly. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall, not maybe, might, possibly, but he says, shall suffer persecution. Sometimes it comes in pairs like that. Yes, you have a great relationship with the Lord, but yeah, there's also some testing times that come along with that. Not everybody else is happy with you and your relationship with the Lord. And we see that happening even with the disciples there in Acts chapter 5, verse 41. They had been chastised by the religious leaders of that day because they were preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, and they were letting them go. And it says, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame for his name. Okay? They were thankful that they'd been able to live and promote the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell other people about him, even though that they were put down for that. And that can happen to us as well. Again, not everybody's going to be excited about you and your relationship with the Lord. And the closer you get to your relationship with the Lord, the persecution or maybe being made fun of, trying to shame you in some way or another, might grow. But we stop and think about this with Paul as he's writing this. He's, of all places, he's in jail. He's in prison. Why? Because of some terrible thing that he did? No, because he was doing what God wanted him to do. He was preaching and teaching, telling other people about Christ. And his response to this was that he desired to know more about the Lord Jesus, to know more of his power. That power that was there to enable the dead to be raised. And even if it required suffering on his part, and Paul experienced that as well. It wasn't that he got away scot-free, you know, and he just got all the good stuff and didn't have to put up with any persecution of any kind. No, on the contrary, he wrote to the church there of Corinth some of his adversity, and I don't believe he's doing this just to, you know, kind of thump his chest. He's just being honest with people, saying, this is what happened to me, you know. So this idea of trust Christ and your problems are over, not doesn't line up with Scripture. You know, he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons, more frequent in deaths. Oft of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now, you may be familiar with that terminology, but back then they didn't seem to have a trouble whipping somebody. That wasn't a problem for them. They just wanted to make sure that they didn't do it more than 40 times. That was what the law said. So just to be safe, in case somebody wasn't counting right, they'd stop at 39. Or, you know, you get to 39. You're going to notice a difference whether it's 39 or 40. Well, if you're on the receiving end of it, you probably do. But it says this happened five times. Well, and now I realize with new math, it could come out something different than that. It's whatever you want it to be, maybe. But normally, 5 times 40 would be 200 minus 5. So you only get 195 lashes. Oh, man, his back must have been quite a sight to see. And that wasn't the end of it. Three times, he says, I was beaten with rods. Now, I don't know what their rods were like, if they were like broomsticks or what, but I don't want to get hit once with a broom, you know, let alone somebody beat me with that thing 3 times. Then just to kind of icing on the cake, stoned. They stoned him. Now, this isn't just, you know, throwing a few pebbles at the guy. When they stoned somebody, their intent was to kill them. And they kept on throwing stones till they thought they were dead. So when they left Paul, they thought he was dead, or they'd have kept on throwing the stones. And as you know, God raised him up and enabled him to keep on going. But three times, suffered shipwreck, a night and day in the deep. And then he kind of sums it all up, saying there in 2 Corinthians 11:27, in weariness and in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That's quite a price tag to pay. You know, for wanting to know the Lord better, to experience the power that raised up Christ. A lot of suffering on his part. And yet, that even though it's a big list and not any one of us would want to have that to be true of us, again, this was adversity. And all those trials and tests, the purposes behind it, well, among other things, was to draw Paul close to Christ, to help him to want to know Christ intimately, to know his power. And I believe that Paul experienced what it was like to know Christ and to experience that power being flowing through his life. We look at all that God enabled Paul to do, you know, how much of the New Testament that he wrote, and how even when he's in prison, he's reaching the guards and other people around him for Christ. He truly bloomed where he was planted. It wasn't bad luck. It wasn't an accident. God allowed him to be in these different positions, because he was used of the Lord wherever he was at. And that power that's there from the Lord helps us, encourages us. It sustains us when we're going through adversity. And in doing so, it changes our plans, our goals. Somehow they don't seem quite so important as maybe they once did. And we kind of clear out some stuff out of our lives to make more room for Christ in our hearts and lives, and so that he can control us and he can exercise his power through us. And so it is with Paul. Sometimes we need to for God to kind of step in and allow adversity to come knocking at our door so that we have that desire to get to know the Lord even better. You know, when things are going smooth, often we're not looking forward to any ripples along the way, any potholes, any roadblocks in life. We tend to kind of like things the way they are. And let's don't rock the boat here. But when that's the case, we don't tend to grow too much spiritually in our relationship with the Lord. Oftentimes, we may drift apart. And it's not that the Lord's leaving us. God doesn't change. Christ doesn't change. But we do. And maybe our dependence on the Lord begins to change. Maybe we think we are less dependent on the Lord. At least we might think that. And we don't seem to see the needs that are there to drive us back close to the Lord. And so we, again, tend to drift apart. And you probably know people that maybe at one point had a close relationship with the Lord and and maybe various things come along in their life and they just kind of drift away from the Lord. The Lord hasn't changed, but they have. And yet the Lord can choose to bring adversity into our lives that will drive us back to his side. He knows what's best for us. He knows what's good for us. And sometimes what's ultimately best for us is to have that adversity come in, because that draws us close back to him. We're once again wanting to draw the power, the strength, the encouragement from the Lord. And we find that we're not that knight in shining armor. In fact, maybe there's some pieces missing out of our armor, or we got some holes in it. And we see how needy we are, how frail and weak we are. I was thinking about this a little bit, over the last couple of days. It's been, and these are just the ones that we've heard about. But what was it, Friday night down in Milwaukee, Deer District, some people watching the ball games on the Jumbotrons or whatever. And of course, there's bars not far away. And 17 people got shot. Now, they say they're going to recover. And then I'd heard it was up to 21. And then to go watch a basketball game. Or the people that went in Buffalo just went to the grocery store and 10 people died. Now, who ever think going to the groceries? Now, it might be expensive, but you don't think it's going to take your life to go to the grocery store. And this guy drove, they said, hours to get to this place. It wasn't, somebody that's got a beef because they wouldn't take his coupons or something. It's somebody from way off somewhere else. And so God's able to watch over and care for us wherever we're at. And this is why we need to know the Lord better, to help in our understanding, to realize that there's evil all about us, all around us. And yet the Lord is in a position where he's seeing everything. Nothing takes him by surprise. And we can experience God's power in our lives. And Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ we are raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. We can have new life in Christ. Now, we might have been saved for many, many years, and we kind of take that for granted. But to kind of realize anew, we have new life in Christ. And he empowers us. He strengthens us to hang in there, not to give up, not to quit. And we all have weaknesses, maybe glaring weaknesses. And we need his help, his strength. We can't right all the wrongs in this world. We are challenged just to with the Lord's help, to right the wrongs that are in our own lives. And yet we think about some of the evil that's going on in this world. And you see it, hear it on the news every day. The thing is, though, it's not just simple. It's one thing if it was incompetence, people that just didn't know any better, didn't know how to govern. But it seems like you can't be this far wrong without being intentional to make the choices. And ultimately, it ends up being evil, at least in my mind. And we think about some of those. Think about abortion. I mean, that's kind of in the forefront right now, because of this leak. In my thinking, they had nothing to run on, so we have to come up with an issue that will get people behind us. Well, they got abortion now. And I don't know if they really don't know or they're playing dumb. If they get rid of Roe Wade, it's not going to end abortion. It just goes back to the states. And the states decide whether or not they're going to have abortion. They're still going to have abortions. You can count on it. It's going to be in New York's state. It's going to be in California and probably other ones scattered in between. There might be some that would outlaw it, but all they do is drive over to the next state. It isn't like it's going to be done away with. It's it's headed in the right direction. It might slow it down. It won't be as convenient as just going downtown someplace. But, you know, can we stop that? No. Can we change the laws? We don't have the power to do that, do we? Can we dial up? I don't know. I've not tried it, but I'm guessing I could Google it and to try to get the number for the Supreme Court, see if I could talk to a couple of justices. What do you think? Would I get through?
No.
No. Okay. Or stop, and I haven't seen too much more of this, of the protesting that goes on in the churches, but, you know, maybe can we find out who it was that tried to firebomb there in Madison, pro-life agency, you know? Or how about the baby formula? You found out where that's at, right? They're on shelves at the border, okay? Can we cure inflation? No. Immigration? No. There's all kinds of problems out there that you and I don't have the ability to solve. There's all kinds of social and spiritual problems in society. Wouldn't it be great, you know, if we could just write a letter and it would change the heart of somebody? To change the heart of Senator Schumer, and I was reading here, I think it was yesterday, with the new mayor that's in New York City, you know, that a woman should have the right to abortion up till the day of delivery. How sick is that? And yet these people are in positions of power to want to kill little babies until the day of their birth, or to get a hold of the hearts and lives of people like Putin and others. You know, we're, in a sense, powerless in and of ourselves. We don't have the power to change people's hearts and lives. But God is not powerless. We're in a direct line. We've got a hotline, if you will, to the creator, the sustainer of this universe, folks. And I hope it helps us to see how much we need the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the majority of the problems that are out there, you and I as individuals don't have the power to change. But we can be plugged into the power that can change it. Lord can change these things. There's nothing that's too hard for Him. And again, we are able to, you know, like I said, we can't call Supreme Court. We can't call the White House. You know, I'm sure they got a phone tree that won't end, right? If you dial 999 for somebody else, if you know their extension. But Colossians 1:10-11 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. There's a lot of good things that can happen because of our relationship with the Lord. And realize this power is available through prayer. All we have to do is talk to the Lord about it. And He can make things happen that you and I can't even dream about happening. And for some, it seems like a pipe dream because they don't know the Lord. They don't know the power of prayer. And it just seems like a dream maybe to them. Or maybe people that have never really exercised the right and the privilege of prayer, being able to come right into the presence of the Lord. And yet here again, Paul, he has this hunger to know the Lord, to know of His power, to know of His fellowship. Again, he says there in Philippians 3:10, that I might know Him. And I, again, not just know about Him, but to know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. You know, just think about how much power it takes to raise a dead person. How much power it took for Jesus to raise up Lazarus. How much power it took for Jesus to raise Himself up from the dead. You know, And we think that's pretty awesome. Now, I don't know if you can get enough guys here in a circle to get a, I've only got arms and legs to grab a hold of. But, you know, for you guys to do the one, two, and then throw me up in the air, you're going to catch me. How much power would that take to get this preacher off the ground, you know? Do you realize we're just scratching the surface? The power that it's going to take for every believer when that trumpet sounds. We're out of here, okay? To snatch us out of this life through the clouds to the presence of God. Power. I mean, we haven't seen anything yet, you know? We're still dealing with 110 power, you know, and this has got a whole lot of zeros after it. And it's not just going to obliterate us, but it's going to change us. Change us from the inside out. And adversity, again, comes into our lives. But again, for a good reason, to draw us close to the Lord so that we can find strength. Paul found it. And he desired it. He prayed for it. And God used it to change his heart and life. Let me just share with you, and you may have heard this somewhere along the way, J.C. Penney. He's been around, out there for a long time. One of the fellows at when we were in Bible college, you know, we all had to wear suits or whatever, and it was kind of a joke, you know. You open it up, you know, it's, and he would open his up and say, "My tailor's J.C. Penney." Well, but J.C. Penney really was somebody, you know. He lived during the Depression time, back in 1929. And the Depression caused him to be bankrupt. Before the Depression, he was a millionaire. Now, back then, $1 million was a lot of money. I don't know how many that would equal in today's dollars. But it was gone. It was gone. He didn't have anything left. He was discouraged. He was sick. And finally, his doctor sent him to the hospital after diagnosing his illness as a nervous disorder. They probably have a fancier name for that nowadays. But, you know, here he is, a former millionaire. He's in hospital. He doesn't even have enough money to pay for his own care. And he was sure that he wasn't going to live through the night. And so he began to sit down and write down a farewell letter to his wife and his children. And it said, by morning, though, he awoke and to find that he was feeling better. And down the hall, he heard someone singing an old familiar song. "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you." Mr. Penney said he slipped out of bed, and he made his way down to this little chapel, found a seat in the back, and started to pray. And he pleaded with God. He says, "I can do nothing of myself. Will you take care of me?" Later, he said he didn't know exactly what happened, but he says it was as if there was a giant weight that was taken off of his shoulders. And he says that he went out of that room a different man. He began to read his Bible, and he became an active layman in his church. And he began to trust the Lord in ways that he'd never trusted him before. And it says it wasn't long before his business losses had been recovered, and the second part of Penny's life was better than the first. And he said whatever happened to him that day, he said from that point on, he could place his faith, whatever he placed his faith in, the Lord took care of him. You know, and that was just what the Lord did. He says, "I will take care of you." And that's not just for Paul when he's in prison. That's not just for J.C. Penney when he was penniless, but it's for us today. The Lord also wants to care for us through all the difficulties. And I don't know all the difficulties that all of you have been facing, but I know one that does, that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's all wise. He's all knowing. He knows just exactly what the prescription is for your life. He knows what you're going through. He knows the trials, the temptations, the difficulties. He knows all about them. And his wisdom, he's able to care for you. And this is what we need to do, is to be like Paul, to be like J.C. Penney, to recognize our weaknesses, not do a cover up, not try to paint it over and call it something different, but to be honest, recognizing our weaknesses, our inability to care for ourselves, and for the difficulties that we find ourselves in. And he wants to lift us up. He wants to encourage us. But we need to look to him for the help that we need. You, the rest of us, are incapable of meeting your needs in the way that Christ can. He calls out to us. He tells us there in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We see here the Lord Jesus wants to grant us his power through faith. And we see that he is able to transform our lives through salvation. He changes us from the inside out. Before we came to Christ, we could do nothing but sin. You know, we didn't necessarily recognize that, but we were doing what the devil was telling us to do. And once we came to know Christ, it changed all that. And we became, the Bible says, we become new creatures in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And 2 Corinthians 5:21 goes on to tell us, he says, "For he hath made him," talking about Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus Christ took your sin, my sin, the sins of the world upon himself. He died in our place as our substitute. And as we believe in him as our personal Savior, he exchanges those sins for his righteousness. He takes away our sin and gives us his righteousness, because we have none of our own. And that transformation takes place. The Bible describes that kind of the end result of that is that we become dead to sin. And there in Romans 6, verse 6 and 7, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that this body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin." Folks, did you know something? Dead men don't sin. Dead men don't sin. And it's like we are dead to sin. It no longer has power over us that it once did. God has broken the power of Satan. We, you know, people used to use that line, "Well, the devil made me do it." Well, as Christians, we can't beg off on that line anymore, because Satan can't make us do anything. He can tempt us. He can make it real interesting. He can make it kind of glittery and look like it's going to be fun and exciting, so that we'll want to do it, but he can't make us do it. And so we don't have to sin any longer. We can choose to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, dead to sin, but alive unto God. He says there in Romans 6, 10 through 14, he goes on to say, "In that he died to sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon," or "know, understand ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Folks, we have new life in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And then he goes on to say, "Therefore, don't let sin take up residence in your life. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof." Don't let it move in, take up residence, and we just kind of get stuck continuing on in our sin. He says, don't let that happen. He says, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." Don't let your heart and your mind, your hands, your feet, everything else about you, don't let it be used for sinful purposes. But he says instead, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, that your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we give our lives 100% over to the Lord, and we allow him to use us effectively serving him. Folks, he's going to give us whatever we have need of. He's promised us that. He tells us there in Philippians 4:13, Paul says, he says, I can do all things through Christ. Not in the power of Paul, but in Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then he says in 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord doesn't have any supply chain problems in getting what we have need of to us. You know, his storehouses are full. And God is not limited in any way. Man, we got all kinds of limitations on us. But the Lord doesn't. And he wants to empower us. That's why he's given us at the moment of salvation. He's given us his Holy Spirit, in order that we might be able to, and he's going to stay there forever. He's not just coming to visit a while. He moves in to stay. And he's going to help us to live that Christian life, just like he helped Paul and J.C. Penney and other believers in between, to gain strength and power. And so he wants us to be able to serve him. He wants to empower us to be able to do great things for God. And we need to realize, again, that Jesus Christ desires to care for us. He's going to care for his own. Once we've trusted Christ, we've been adopted into God's family. Nothing's ever going to change that. And he's going to care for us. He doesn't want to just simply meet our temporal needs here and now, but he wants to meet our needs on throughout eternity. And he will take care of us. Just like J.C. Penney, you know, placed himself, Lord, there's nothing I can do. But I want you to take care of me. And you know, the Lord will do just that. He's promised to be there for us. He's done that, first of all, with our greatest need. Of all the needs that we have in this life, our greatest need is that of the sin problem in our life. We can't get rid of our sin. But Jesus Christ is able to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you have that need today? Has there been a point in time where you've trusted in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation and trusted him as your Savior? If that's not something that you've done before, would you pray with me as we pray now? Our dear Heavenly Father, right now I recognize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's nothing I can do to remove my sin. But I believe that Jesus Christ, death on the cross, and his shed blood is able to cleanse me of my sin. Right now, the best way I know how, I want to trust Jesus as my personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you would take care of me, and both now and throughout eternity. Help me to live my life in a way that be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Isaiah 41:10 is one of my favorite verses. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Folks, he will lift us up. He will strengthen us. He will meet our needs. We can count on it. And he'll never let us down. I'd like for us to sing a closing hymn, if you would, please.
Familiar one. This is one of those that was chosen by the ladies. But 342, just as I am. That's what the Lord, he takes us just as we are. And begins a transformation. Okay, we stand together, 342. our surgery. Some of them, if they let them out the same day, I'm guessing that won't happen for her. And I hope they don't. But I continue to pray for her. She's there by herself. Again, got Mount Everest to climb, 14 steps to get back into her condo there. So I wanted to appreciate your praying for her. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your care for us. We thank you for being there for us. Good times and bad. Lord, we thank you even for the adversity that you allow to come into our lives, because we know it's got a purpose behind it. And even as we saw here today, that we can be strengthened and encouraged by you. And we can know you. We can know the power of your resurrection. And you can give us the enablement we need to be able to do your will here and now. But thank you, it's not just a temporary fix, but you promise to care for us throughout this life and the life to come. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Be sure to greet Lewis and
one or the other. So I don't have